of women coming in with piles of books and children, and you would hold the door for them.
All right, let's go to Revelation 19. I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm going to go to California. I'm going to spend at least 3 or 4 months there to start the Bible study that sort of went away when I left. So we had a pretty good crowds each time. And so anyway, Glenn has talked to me about doing it many times, but I just didn't feel right about it. But last night, it just became something I need to do. Except a couple times we had the Third World War and Bible study there.
Just like old times here.
Yeah. All right, 19. Revelation 19. Why do I have equal in my Bible?
Marker. A marker.
Well, I know where Revelation 19 is. Remember, Revelation 17 predicts the doom of Babylon. And then Revelation 19 17 predicts the fall, 18 is the fall, and then 19 is the praise from the throne, or to the throne.
The what to the throne?
It's the praise that emanates from the throne.
Okay.
The 24 elders, remember?
Yeah.
When the elders fell, and down in the, it's like we don't have anything in our understanding to really know what that means, but from the standpoint of God, it's the imprature, or imprint, whatever that word is, that the seal that it's finished. You don't have any more time left, and until we have that kind of urgency, we'll just continue on in our lives. What? I heard you musing.
What did you just say?
I said that Revelation 17 is a prediction of the doom of Babylon. Mm-hmm. Revelation 18 is the doom. And then Revelation 19 is the view from the throne. So.
And then he said, unless we have that kind of urgency,
We have to see that urgency, or that. Well, let's read it and see. We have to do a little bit of 19. I mean, 18, starting verse. Sometime I'd like to do the whole book of Revelation, but I start to do it and I get sidetracked. Well, let's start in chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. I did turn it on. Having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations or all people have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, what's all that about? This describes the human race without God. I hope it doesn't describe you without God. But anyway. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now this is the Antichrist that's doing this. It's causing the world to become rich in the abundance of her delicacies. And we see nothing but self-seeking.
Yeah.
I've talked a lot lately about about how easily we are seduced by the world system. And you can tell you've been seduced if you love the same things they love, if you esteem the same things the world loves, then you know something is amiss in your spiritual life. Is that understandable? In verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived delicately or deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath in her heart, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. That's a one verse description of the prosperity gospel. How much she hath glorified herself and lived delicately, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, for the great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn for her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more, merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, all thine wood, all, whatever that word is, thine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory and manner of vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble, and the cinnamon and the odors and the ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou departed from thee, excuse me, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Now, you could take all of that and put it under the heading of the fall. Now we think we're doing well if we make money. We think we're doing well in all the other thousand things. But we have to see we're in a different order, a different value system. Does that communicate?
It's impressive how inclusive this is.
Yeah.
There's nothing left out of the commerce world.
Yeah, and again, it's and the commerce is everything but the cross.
What are you supposed to, quote unquote, think about that? It's kind of like that is the cross. I mean, you get rid of all that, there's nothing. You don't have anything to do. God is your only refuge.
Well, he's your only life. You can't separate. That's the whole idea that if we are in him, then we are in God. And the Holy Spirit is our guidance and our only guidance. No longer cause and effect, no longer reward and punishment. It's a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living that unfortunately the church does not know much about.
It's difficult to even define a world without those things, because then what do you eat?
Then what?
What do you eat? There's nothing sold or bought. It's all been destroyed. Where do you get your sustenance?
Well, again, it's what you live by faith alone, and without any leaning of your own arm of understanding ever again. And that's so our minds can't understand that. We have to have some kind of cause and effect. We'll just think, go back to the fall. There was no cause and effect. They had everything they needed. They lived in the most beautiful place in the universe. But they got seduced, the same way we do.
Yeah, it can be about buying and selling. You know, as if I was going to sell my phone to Gary or something like that. But it's not really about buying and selling. It's about what you think about buying and selling. It's about whether buying and selling, you know, is the backbone of your life or not. I mean, that's why, you know, people always get wrapped around the axle of, well, I don't go to work, I don't have anything to eat. But that's, you know, it's like trying to make the spirit flesh and the flesh spirit to go back and forth.
Yeah, and that's because there's no cross. We don't die. We aren't buried in baptism, so we keep ourselves alive, and the only thing we're keeping alive is the instead of Christ, who is our real identity. That's why the cross must be so complete.
And that this also is why, certainly, televangelists are a great big piece of it. It's all of religion. I mean, it includes people who are not religious. It includes people who have a different religion. It's about, you know, it's about more than televangelists.
Oh, sure.
It's commerce. It's about, you know, what do I think my life consists of?
Well, again, there's this... I heard this quote a long time ago when I was a new believer, and I've used it often since, but if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And that's kind of a daunting question. All right. Verse 15 again. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heart, on their heads. I tried to say heads and heart at the same time, and it came out of a new word. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour was she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers, and musicians, and of pipes, and trumpeters, shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. Now what is he describing here? It's a life described by faith alone. Is that a little bit of understanding?
It's like what I'm saying, he's describing, he's kind of destroying everything that man knows as a means of life and survival. With that completely gone, there's another kingdom, which is his kingdom. Of course, you live by faith in that, but we don't have a sensory perception of it. It's not described. Well, it is later, I guess.
Yeah, well, you don't. It's not a describable thing because your mind can't describe it because it can't even conceive of such a thing.
It'd be like if you could describe it, you could name it and claim it and control it. But that's what we all want to do. We can't do that.
All right, back 19. And they cast it up.
It's 19, but I wanted to say something too about 19, and that's that phrase, "were made rich all that had ships in the sea." I was thinking that the sea there is again people, and the riches are people who believe what you believe, that you're able to buoy yourself up by the number of people who have the same belief system you do.
Yeah, you justify truth not by truth,
but by the number of people who believe it.
Right. It's like the whole idea of It's the total opposite of the abandonment of self. And it becomes self-motivated. But you put God's name on it, so you think you're doing God's stuff. But self-motivated, it's just as, I mean, it's doesn't matter whether it's self-motivated or what you think is God-motivated. If you do anything other than faith, then you're in trouble. Oh, 19 again. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." Now, this is a type of all human effort. It's just using the ships of the sea as the.
And even the costliness is about what I can get from myself. I mean, the ultimate cost is the cost of your life. But in between time, you know, when you're in this false thing, the costliness is everything that comes to you for what you believe. For the number of people who think who believe the same thing you do.
Yeah. Truth must be in numbers.
Billion flies eat shit. Have a big mouthful.
And the mighty angel, verse 21, and the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all in thee." Now that's what has to be destroyed in us, is the Babylon. Remember, what is Babylon?
False religion.
No, it's cause and effect. It's beyond religion because everything is religious in a sense.
Yeah. Well, that's why it says the millstone won't be around anymore. That's why it says that there won't be the sound of the millstone anymore. I mean, at that time, everything depended on having bread, and that meant somebody had to get up every day, grind some grain, and make bread out of it. And if that sound is no longer heard, it's because no one has to worry about where they're going to get their bread from.
And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of millstones shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy my merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries all nations deceived, all people deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Then finally 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." Now, this word fornications is a whole lot includes a whole lot more than what we would believe it means. Fornication is going anywhere other than God for your sustenance. Not putting God's name in what you've made up to do, but faith alone. Everybody get that a little bit?
That's the substance of that verse that says in James, for we should thus say, if God wills and we live, we'll go thus and so and make profit, whatever.
All right. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did sit upon the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Now, there are, I said the other day that, you know, that when you look at the first couple hundred years of the church, it had a brief time where they were accepted, and then all of a sudden, throughout the Roman Empire, they were slain, like they were slayed, killed by every kind of unimaginable means. I mean, the stuff they thought up to justify. And it always has to do with the believers are an enemy. That's what they're proclaiming. The believers are an enemy of all things good from their standpoint. Now, what could be better than the free enterprise system? Well, faith. What could be better than communism? Faith. What could be better than any other thing you can think of? Faith. Until we learn to live by faith alone, we are in danger of being described as this part we just read in Revelation 18. All right. And again, verse 3, and again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of mighty waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, the Lord God, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. We studied all that to say this. His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's the dividing line. Everything moves from this point. It's been split. There's no middle ground anymore. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 9. And he saith unto me, Write. You gotta believe that he would really quickly obey and write. Can you imagine John, we've gone through so much crap, and then he gets this message of the whole of Revelation, and finally it was like, I see. All right. And I fell at his feet.
I didn't finish nine.
Oh, nine, excuse me. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, in one sense, I wanted to get to that just for that one verse. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Anybody?
Yeah, it says angel, but it makes me think it might have been Elijah. You should recognize it.
Yeah, it's probably either Elijah or Enoch. Two that never died.
Where did you read that?
Well, it says...
he says, don't worship him.
Yeah, I mean, earlier it said an angel told him this stuff. So this is an angel that, you know, was sitting there talking to him.
Oh, he fell down and worshipped the angel.
We all know to worship the angel. And the angel, of course, means messenger. It doesn't mean somebody's got wings. And so, you know, that the whole thing, spirit of prophecy, made me think.
Yeah, you got to remember that throughout most of the Old Testament and much of the New Testament, these two witnesses of Elijah and Enoch that never died. We can't even conceive what that means. But it's a marvelous thing when you capture it, or it captures you. Verse 11, and I saw, oh God, we did it again. It's probably Gary's fault somehow. Hopefully we'll continue on that vein for a while. Any response to any of this, or is it just gibberish?
What a great conclusion, just at the end of 10. The testimony, like you said, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I mean, that's the objective. Dying to self, the cross, the surrender, the whole waiting.
Excuse me for talking about me, but I didn't sleep a wink last night. And the pain has just been mind-bending the last few days. And it's like, it's like I cheapen the mystery by saying that even. I'd just as soon never sleep another second if I could continue to see more and more clearly.
I heard fault confessed by what you just said.
I don't understand what you mean.
Confess your faults one to another, and that's what I heard you say. Oh. It's a fault that you have as a man, as a human being, that you would feel that you're cheapening the mystery by this, whatever. But that's what we're supposed to do, is confess those faults. We're not supposed to look at you and say, Almighty man of God, but a man who is weak and humbled by the pain. That's what I heard there, which is...
Well, we'll see. I hope you're right.
Yeah, otherwise you take it and it's about you. I mean, you even prefaced your comment with forgive me for talking about myself, but anyway, that's what I heard it.
All right. We are going to continue, if the freak don't rise, to look at the rest of... We may go through the rest of Revelation. Take it, big guy.